Now, it's been a rough couple of weeks for the cruise liner industry in Australia. We've seen a bit of news of, how should I put it, drunken violence and, of course, the ever-popular gastro outbreak, and it's made for some unsavoury headlines. But in spite of all this negative press, cruising in Australia continues to grow from strength to strength year on year. And it's weird, but it turns out Australians can't get enough of cruise holidays. And while this growth is a boon for tourism operators, there are concerns that our port infrastructure and supply of skilled staff isn't keeping up, especially here in Sydney. Now, Dr. David Bierman is Senior Lecturer in Tourism at the University of Technology, Sydney. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, and it's nice to be with you.
It is nice to have you on. Now, cruise liners have been a constant fixture in Sydney Harbour in recent years. Why do you think it's growing in popularity? And full disclosure, I've got this weird thing of full disclosure here. I am doing my first cruise ever in April. So I am one of the people committed to making sure this industry sticks around.
Well, I'm sure the cruise industry will be very happy to hear that. But it's interesting because the cruise industry is attracting a very different customer from what it used to. Just to give you an example, in the late 1970s, your average age of a cruise passenger was about 67 years old. Today, it's more like about 43 years old. So the demographics are changing. The value for money for cruising, which is, I think, what also attracts a lot of people, is attracting a much, much broader group of people. So when you think about it, and I look at the headlines over the last couple of weeks, and what makes them special is that they're so unusual. It is a fairly aberrant set of circumstances we've seen. So to give you a classic idea of a cruise, your average cruise now is taking from Sydney is taking about 2,500 passengers, probably 1,000 to 1,500 crew members. So you've got a community of 4,000 souls often heading out into the seas. They're all in party mode. They're all probably drinking a lot more than they can because it's all included in the fare. They're indulging. The likelihood of bad behaviour, I guess, starts to increase. And if you think of a little town of, say, 4,000 or 5,000 people, every week you're going to get a pub brawl, probably several. Other sorts of crime. Every small town of that size has got a small number of police to keep the peace. So in a sense, what you have is a floating community to a certain extent, which is also engaged in fun and excess. And as a result, very occasionally, you'll get a few people who'll get out of hand.
You mentioned that the sort of there's a lot of great inclusions with cruises these days, that maybe all your alcohol is taken care of. Is that part of the competition? Has it become a bit tighter for cruise liners, so they're forced to offer more?
Yes, it has. Cruising is very competitive, and the interesting thing about cruising is there are probably two main companies which have multiple brands. So you've got Royal Caribbean Cruises and Carnival Cruises. They're the two huge companies, and within, say, Carnival Cruising, you've got P&O, Cunard, and a whole bunch of other brands. So we often think of these, you know, different brands competing with each other. They're really part of the same family of brands. But the thing is, as the demand for cruising has increased, as you pointed out, like, you know, in 2017 we had about 1.35 million Australians cruising. 10 years ago, it was around 400,000. So the growth has been absolutely phenomenal. The pot's got a lot bigger. The ships have got a lot bigger. The biggest cruise line operating in Australian waters, which is Ovations on the Sea, takes up to 4,900 passengers and 2,500 crew. So we're talking about a lot of people on a ship.
My hometown was not that big where I grew up, I can assure you of
that. No, and it's bigger than many towns. So the scale of cruising is absolutely huge. And as I said, if you're getting a fairly large community which has been plied by with good food, good entertainment, party atmosphere, gambling, all sorts of other things, yeah, some people are going to get a bit out of hand.
So they're in Sydney a lot. Is Sydney coping with that amount of people and sort of, you know, it feels like there's more cruise ships all the time?
Sydney as a city is coping just fine. Sydney as a port is really struggling because we essentially have in Sydney, we've got two major berthing areas for international cruise lines. One, which is, of course, the international terminal in Circular Quay, which is where every cruise passenger wants to go to because you've got the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge.
It's an amazing thing to come into.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's probably one of the best berthing places on the planet. you've got White Bay, which is on the other side of the Harbour Bridge, or on the western side of the Harbour Bridge, and that can only take smaller cruise lines. So those cruise ships which take around about 2,000 passengers or less tend to park there. Now, when you get a situation, as we do from time to time, when you get three big ships coming into Sydney, then we have problems. And there's been Garden Island's occasionally been used, which of course is the naval base.
But we do have a bit
of a crisis in terms of the fact that for cruise lines, there is when the demand is at its highest, and this is usually times like New Year's Eve, Christmas period, and some of our, and Vivid, that there just isn't enough room for all the cruise lines that want a berth or want a dock in Sydney can do so. So some of that excess is going to Newcastle, some of it's going to Wollongong, some of it's going to other places. I was actually in Newcastle just 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't been to Newcastle for a long time, and I have to say that Newcastle as a cruise destination is now absolutely fabulous. But it's not what a lot of the punters want to have.
No, you don't want to come thinking you're coming to Sydney and then getting a 1.5 hour train back there. So
exactly. So yes, there is a real problem in terms of infrastructure, and of course, the problem that you have is that all of those wonderful harbourside areas east of the Harbour Bridge, which include places like Vaucluse, Point Piper, Clontarf, Clifton Gardens, which would be ideal for having a cruise ship parked in there. The residents that have paid $35 million for a house don't actually want to have a great huge ocean liner parked outside their swimming pools.
No, they don't, do they? Look, I suppose from your point of view, and just finally, we'll have to wrap it up after this. I mean, are you surprised by the ongoing popularity of cruising?
Not really. One of the big changes that we've seen over the last few years is that the number one concern of travellers now is safety. And cruises are considered to be one of the safest ways to travel. Also, too, for those people who aren't adventurous travellers, who want to be looked after, who want to be babied, who want to be told what to do, cruising is ideal, and it's also seen as very good value for money. A lot of the time, because of the incredible inclusions in a cruise ship. So when you pay your cruise fare, you're paying for your accommodation, you're paying for a lot of terrific entertainment, you're paying for all your meals, and in many cases, you're also paying for your alcohol as well. The only things you have to pay for if you do want to pay extras is if you go to a special fancy restaurant on board, and some of these cruise lines have up to 37, 38 restaurants. So that dining choices are phenomenal, but it's all inclusive fares, and plus the fact that because of the growth of demand and the competitiveness, a lot of people can get an absolute bargain on a cruise. I hope you're one of them.
Well, we'll find out once I've done it. David, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Been a pleasure.
Dr. David Bierman, he's Senior Lecturer in Tourism at the University of Technology, Sydney. As I said, I'm going on my first cruise. It's actually going to just be a short food and dining cruise, to be honest. It's only 3 nights. But if you've had a good time with it, or if you reckon that Sydney cruise liners should be given the flick, tweet us up at 2SER.